Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, I am very delighted to welcome to the Niall Boylan Show today Dr. Colman Nochter. He is a child and adolescent psychotherapist. He's the author of Cop On, What It Is and Why Your Child Needs It, and also has a regular column in the Irish Examiner. The reason that we've asked Colman to join us today is it's kind of appeared as a bit of a theme on the show in recent days and weeks. Now, a number of weeks ago, you may remember that Niall was speaking to Barry Smith. He's been deemed the strictest head teacher in Britain and has made comments essentially that parents are to blame for school kids' bad behaviour. Adults are afraid of their children, and he thinks we bend over backwards to accommodate kids, and that instead of accommodating the behaviour, we need to be stricter and be promoting good behaviour instead. Last week then we heard from a teacher. We were discussing the incidences of violence and thuggery and intimidation at junior soccer games, and one of our contributors was a teacher who was saying that it was no surprise to her. There's no respect from kids in the secondary school whatsoever, and that if you report or record any bad behaviour to their parents, they don't seem to challenge it or to do anything about it at all. We've also heard from one parent during the week as well, talking about their adult child who's living at home, not working, couldn't be arsed going out and getting a job, doesn't hand up a single penny. And, you know, when she might point out that, you know, I'm paying for the Netflix, I'm paying for the heating, I'm paying for the food. It's like, well, you had me. This is what you should expect. So, you know, there's parenting challenges for people who have little babies. There's parenting challenges for people who have, children in the tween years, teenagers, and it doesn't stop because then they become adults and you're essentially still parenting them. So I'm delighted to welcome to the programme Dr. Colman Nochter. Colman, thanks so much for joining us today, because it's a bloody minefield and there's also an awful lot of judgment attached to it too. When we've had contributors like the ones I've just outlined there on, we have people who WhatsApp in straight away going, tell that woman she should, or tell that person he should. You know, there's an awful lot of judgment around parenting. It's a minefield.
Yeah, I could be guilty of parenting from the ditch as well. But from the point of view, everyone has the answer and the solution. But what creates the problem is probably where we should be thinking about, you know. And it's true, you know, where should I start? Well, I wouldn't start from here, you know. And it starts very small with children. Again, the things have changed. Parents are a lot more involved in their children's lives than they ever were before. You know, you talked about the involvement of sport. Like, when I was playing sport, I wouldn't have thought my parents even knew what age group I played with. They probably went to one or two matches. But they certainly weren't watching every minute of my training and getting on to coaches about whether they should pick me or not. And so we have become much more involved in our children's lives. And that's not a bad thing, you know, when it's done correctly. But then there's a case of becoming over-involved. And that might be where your child becomes a bit of a project. Do you know what I mean? And you're maybe trying to live your own desires vicariously through your child. And that can be a problem when somebody gets... And that might be where the teachers are saying, you know, the child can do no wrong. And so they're not encouraged by their parents to take on responsibility for their actions. Mm. But essentially what it comes down to, Tara, is that parenting is about pacing, you know, and it's about, you know, we need early on to be very, very involved in our children's lives, and then we need to step back and we need to give them the right amount of responsibility and control over their choices when they show the responsibility to do it.
And that can be tricky, because if you're hugely involved and you have your little baby and you have to feed them, you have to change them, you're completely and utterly responsible for everything they do, it can be hard to step back actually and go, well, actually no, you need to try and find your own shoes or where are your socks, or can you bring your plate over and put it in the dishwasher, or whatever the case may be. But you know, we do. Do you think we're more, because we're more involved, Colman, that we're more inclined to spoil?
Again, it's probably more about a quick fix solution. You know, again, it's about busyness of our lives. I always say to somebody, you know, count how many times you tell your small infant child to hurry up in one day. you know, you'll be shocked, you know, yeah. in terms of get into the car, get out of the car. So the business, it's much easier to do for them than allow them to do it with them. So if they're spending 5 minutes looking for their shoes and you're in a hurry to go to work, you just go and grab the shoes yourself for them. Do you know what I mean? And what that encourages is it enables them a little bit to become over-reliant on the other to do it for me. But what we need to teach children about is that, you know, there's lots of things that is your right. You know, it's your right to be able to do things. But you earn a right by showing a responsibility. So, you know, like having a phone or, you know, it's not a human right to have a smartphone at 9 years of age.
Can we get to that? Because I want to ask you specific questions. No, I don't want to stop you in your flow, but I want to come back to that because that also came up as a huge issue on the show yesterday. What I'm hearing from you is that we have to sort of set out, and I don't like to use the term, I'm just struggling to find any other word, but you have to you have to take some form of control. And again, both of those words have very negative connotations. Maybe you've better words for them, but you have to be the parent. You have to be the grown-up.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be consequences. And it comes down to this, you know, you have to give children what they need, and that may not be what they want. You know, so that's the real key here is am I giving them what I need, what they need, or am I giving them what they want? And, you know, demanding kind of treats all the time might be an easier way of kind of keeping them quiet, but it creates a bigger problem in the long term. You know, letting them into bed at night, you know, because they're going to get a nice treat is probably what you need at that moment or what they want, but it's not in the longer term, you know, so that you're creating a bigger problem. So the need and the want is really important. But from the point of view of, in terms of the role as a parent is to become redundant. When you're no longer needed, you've done your job well. And I think we over-focus on rules, you know, and rules are the way to go. I'm much more a fan of values. Do you know what I mean? So it's a value system within our family that there's mutual respect. We don't swear at each other. We don't, you know, we do our chores or whatever it is that we need to do. And that starts, that creates a culture. And the family value system is one that, you know, maybe you have to earn something to get it. It doesn't come that easy to you. Maybe there is a responsibility for you to behave a certain way. And again, that has to be role modeled by parents as well. You know, and what's interesting is there was a study recently that said like 80% of our reactions to our children is based on how we're feeling at that time, not related to how the behavior of the child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So what you do on a Thursday evening when you're wrecked and tired and the sentence you give for the crying might be completely different to what you'd give on Saturday afternoon when everyone's chilled and relaxed.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and what we're saying is if you want behavior to improve or if you want something to catch on, it's consistency and predictability. Do you know what I mean? Those are the things. So you can't give a child everything that they want until they're 17 years of age and then at 17 turn around and say, I'm going to start putting in some rules now. Do you know what I mean? It has to kind of be, again, something that's much more long-term and much more invested from earlier on, I think.
But also I think, you know, and I mean, I certainly, when you were saying, you know, the response that you give is not necessarily the one that you'd give from one day to the next or from one situation to the next. You know, I immediately thought back to times in my experience as a mother where I know maybe I was ill-tempered or exhausted or annoyed with something else or somebody else and one of the kids got it. Now, I personally always felt really bad if that happened and I'd usually apologise and say, look, this is the reason why. But I think also as parents, we have to kind of give ourselves a bit of a break sometimes, not to excuse poor behaviour from us to our children, but we can't get it right all the time.
Oh, come here, parenting is aspirational. You know what I mean? It's not something that you're going to nail all the time. You're going to get it wrong repeatedly. And again, I think from the point of view of, you know, we sometimes feel that if we kind of get a little bit ill-tempered or, you know, raise our voice that we kind of traumatise a child, that's not how that works. You know, you can repair it and manage it within reason, obviously. But from the point of view of the idea is to give yourself, let's say for example over the pandemic, if your kid has come in and you're on a Zoom call and they're looking for crisps or something, you're going, just take it.
Yeah.
You know, take whatever you want. And then after the Zoom call, they ask you for the crisps and you're going, absolutely not. You know, and again, it is about, you know, where does the line exist? And I would always go back to my own kind of experience of being parented. And my mother had this line that you crossed. And when you cross, it's just a look. It was a look that she gave you, and you went, okay, you've done it now. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, at that point, you kind of said, okay, there's the line right there. But it tended to be similar, a similar point. And I think that's a key part of that consistency or the predictability of parenting, is that you are reliable. Even if you're strict, you're reliably strict.
Yeah.
You're going to be bohemian. Be reliably bohemian.
Okay.
But just don't flip and change.
Sorry,
and the good cop, bad cop, good dad, bad mom, or, you know, that can be really problematic because it sends completely different messages around.
Okay.
Okay,
that's very interesting, because obviously an awful lot of couples, you know, they might talk at the outset of their relationship about, you know, oh, I'd like to have children, so would I. Oh, I'd like two girls and a boy, and I'll call them this and the other. But they don't actually maybe sit and have conversations about what their values are and their parenting styles and approaches. And if you have two people who grew up in very different households with very different parenting styles, then they're going to bring what they know to the table. So how problematic can that be when you have one parent who's operating one way and another who's completely at odds with that?
That can be hugely challenging. I've spoken to lots of couples who said, you know, getting married was easy. It was having children that was the challenge in terms of their relationship. Because you may have different ideologies around strictness or around discipline or around whatever it might be. And you're only working it out as you go. Do you know what I mean? In terms of how do you parent a teenager? You know, you only realise that when you have a teenager.
Oh, here,
you
listen, you're speaking up. I need an hour with you off the air in private for that one, Coleman.
But again, it's knowing where the line is. Look, again, children test. That's what they do.
Yes.
And they'll keep testing until they find something that works. And if I find that tantrum works, or I find that, you know, having a meltdown in Tesco's gets me those buttons.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to keep doing them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, you know, I always say a day in the park ruined because, you know, it's a sanction for someone's behaviour is better than continuing with the park and having to manage that in a year's time. Do you know what I mean? In terms of being as consistent and predictable. And I know I'm repeating myself, but I think it is that it is about having a contained relationship between the child and you. And also the other side of it is getting your child to own up to their own responsibility. And again, it comes down to that thing about, well, my Johnny wouldn't do that and I'll defend them, you know, to the nth degree. I think we went to, like, and we have to think about this historically. We come from, you know, issues of, say, clerical abuse and corporal punishment and all that sort of stuff,
yeah,
where the child said something and the parent said, well, you must have done something wrong.
Yeah, of course.
And now the dial has flipped as an overcorrection where you can't have done anything wrong. And, you know, children who are bullying other children, the parents of those children who are doing the bullying or taking part of it have a responsibility to correct that and manage it. And when our children do step out of line, we need to be as consistent as we are when we're trying to reward them for things that they do well.
Is being a kid now, I mean, you spoke about how your parents wouldn't have known what team you played for. I think for most of us of your and my generation, that was the case. You know, you left the house in the morning on a summer's day and you might come back for dinner time or possibly lunch. They didn't know where you were in many cases, who you were with or what you were doing. And that was, there was a lovely freedom that came with that. You were just being a kid. Is it more difficult for children nowadays?
Oh, 100% it is. And it's much more challenging because, again, that freedom isn't possible anymore. Do you know what I mean? And I would have hitched a lift home from school at 12. If I saw my 12-year-old doing that, I would absolutely lose my... You know,
oh, my God, absolutely, you know, yeah.
From that point of view. So the world is a different place. So you have to accept that we can't, you know, kind of use the ideologies of the past now. But the pressure and expectation that children are under now is phenomenal. And it's from baby infants up, do you know what I mean, in terms of being the best and getting the prizes and getting the medals and student of the week and this and that.
Mm.
And, you know, leaving their points, like, I can see that I'm working in this area 25 years. 10 years ago, 350 points in your leaving was grand.
Absolutely.
Really good.
Yeah.
But now it's the bar is like 500 or something. And we've done what we've done, Tara. We've become allergic to average. Average has become bad.
Yeah.
When did average become bad? Average is actually where we all should be. So, I mean, that's the safest place to be. But our society sees it as something we have to be extraordinary, we have to be exceptional. And that's going to create extreme behaviours, because if you have extreme expectations, children are going to do extreme things to get that attention or to fulfil that need. And I just think we need a race to the middle. Let's get back to that, you know, that that actually it's okay to be in the middle. That's fine. Yeah. Why is that a bad thing? You know?
Okay, Coleman, we've been inundated with lots of listener questions. We're going to take a quick break and Coleman Nochter will be back with us in just a second to answer some of the many questions that are coming back in and continue our chat about, you know, what's wrong with the race to the middle? It sounds like eminent sense to me. It takes pressure off parents and it takes pressure off our kids. Very welcome back to the Niall Boylan Show. Tara Duggan in for Niall this week. I'm joined by Dr. Coleman Nochter, who's still with me, examiner, columnist, author of Cop On, What It Is and Why Your Child Needs It, and of course, child and adolescent psychotherapist. Coleman, I want to get straight into some listener questions, if you don't mind answering a few. Could you ask Coleman about children with anxiety? My 12-year-old shows signs of it, tries to run from tough situations, and is very negative about himself. He calls himself odd and weird, and no matter how I try to big him up, he doesn't believe me. He isn't very tall. This seems to bother him as he is the smallest in his class. How do I help him see the wonderful, kind, caring boy that he is and to develop his confidence? He's so clever, but he hides it so as not to draw attention to himself. Starting at secondary school next year and doesn't know how he's going to cope moving from a small school to a big one.
Yeah, it's probably the most common complaint I've got. I mean, people say that's the biggest issue for children at the moment, is anxiety. And for many of those reasons I said earlier on, around that pressure and expectation, what's happening is we're trying to make children more confident, which is how they express themselves outwardly, but we're not paying attention to their self-esteem and self-worth and self-belief, which is the relationship they have with themselves. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that children are kind of developing a poor relationship with themselves. They're living in a world where grades and medals and sport and prizes are kind of the accolades that are recognized, and kind of kindness and resilience and kind of being able to overcome adversity, they're things that aren't kind of, I suppose, rewarded in many ways. So you have to kind of really try and reestablish a different value system for them. That the things and the skills that they have, that just life isn't rewarding for them at the moment, are important, and that they will hold value. And it's, again, try to improve his relationship with himself. You know, we're all trying to invest in trying to make kids more confident. We should just encourage self-belief, self-worth. And it takes a while. It's not going to be something, and you're kind of battling against a societal issue, because in the class, he's probably maybe getting in trouble by his peer group if he's overly bright. You know, that people say he's a swat or he's got two shoes. Or not. So there's kind of it's a challenging area to kind of survive. And I would say sometimes in the secondary school things, we sometimes dread that. But the anonymity of secondary school in the bigger room means that we can sometimes find our tribe easier than the smaller primary school. So I wouldn't automatically assume that that's going to be a bad thing. Of course, it's going to be a big challenge. But if you can find his tribe somewhere, and because you're a mom and you're telling them the things, it's not going to have the same value because you're a mom.
Of course.
If you could get that feedback from an uncle, an aunt, or someone else to kind of feedback to him, a coach, if he does sport or if he's a drama teacher or whatever, that'll be gold dust.
Okay.
He needs to be able to hear that from other sources than maybe just yourself.
Okay, very good. I'm just wondering, could you chat about food? My toddler is 4, won't touch meat or veg, and a lot of other food. She eats plain pasta, strawberries, no veg. She'll eat bread and jam and certain yogurts. Dinner time is a nightmare. She will actually start to cry if I try to get her to try something new. Very difficult, and her 2-year-old sister is now following suit, although she isn't that bad just yet. There can be a lot of battles around the dinner table.
Yeah, I remove the battle, first and foremost.
Yeah.
The more issues you make of it, the more issue it becomes. And I know it might be hard to kind of work around, and I'm not saying, I don't endorse, you know, having sips different lunches on for different people's priorities. You know, you put it in front of you, eat it, you do well. If you don't, well, then, you know, you don't supplement with other things. But again, the big battle and the big high-intensity, high-visibility mealtime where everyone's stressed and falling out, there's no winners there in that sense. I think less is more in that. But just on that theme, there's a webinar next Thursday, a free webinar with Safe Food. I'm doing about treats and how to manage diet. And Donal O'Shea, myself, and Jane Hogan from the Irish Times are on that panel. So if you go on Eventbrite and log on to that, you'll definitely get loads of tips there on that.
Okay, very good. Can I add one of my tips in from when I was parenting?
Go for it.
When they were little. Used to have little, you know, don't like this, don't like that, don't like the other. I sat them up on the kitchen counter with me when I was cooking, and as we were chopping carrots and chopping, getting out the frozen peas and stuff like that, they would take little bits and pieces of them. So instead of putting them in the dinner where they're going, I want that out, I don't like that, or trying to get a battle of carrots out of a shepherd's pie, I just let them eat them raw beforehand, and then it didn't matter if they ate them or not with their dinner. You know, getting them involved, I think, in cooking actually can, and in preparing the food. But also, I think as well, there's no point in having a fight and pulling your hair out. If you know she's going to eat pasta, let her eat pasta. If she's going to eat strawberries, let her eat strawberries, you know. Because they do develop their tastes as they go along as well.
The irrational toddler who can't find their shoes or can find that sliver of onion that you left in the bolognese.
Yeah, they're very good at that, all right. My daughter is 2 years old and in bed with me. Her cot is used as storage. Any ideas how to get her into her own cot?
Weaning. Yeah, get her back in. Again, trying to stay for a little bit, then you know, maybe wait until she's almost asleep, moving back. And then, because the anxiety is about that you're not keeping her in mind, or that when you go, you won't come back. So, again, a little bit maybe stand still at the door, a little bit back out further, a little bit further. But again, trying to convince yourself that you're doing that for the right reasons. If your child comes into you in the middle of the night and says, there's a monster under my bed, your answer is, okay, hop in here then. What you're actually saying is, there is a monster under
your bed.
There is a monster,
yeah.
And it creates a bigger problem down the line. So, I mean, again, weaning, supportive, and reward her when she manages. Catch kids being good. That's a really a good one. You know, sometimes when they're quiet or when they're managing, that's the time we empty the dishwasher or put the clothes off the line. That's actually the time to go in and reward them and say, I'm loving this. This is great. Keep it up.
Yeah, okay. I want to come back briefly before I go to one final listener question, but I want to come back briefly to, we had a conversation earlier in the week on air about the report from Catherine Martin about online child safety and, you know, moving the goalposts so that the social media companies will be more responsible. That's going to take years. In the meantime, there's loads of us who have kids, who have smartphones, who have access to gaming platforms. We heard some horrific stories during the week. How scared should we be about what our children are seeing online? How do we approach it if they see something horrific?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's an online portal that there's no adult supervision and it's unregulatable. So there are going to be opportunities. I think if you take away all the bad stuff off the internet, take away the pornography, take away the cyberbullying, take out the, it still wouldn't answer the problem, because you'd still have a kid who'd spend 9 hours on YouTube watching cats on skateboards. Nothing illegal about that, nothing inappropriate about
it. And they do.
So what you need to do is work with the individual, not the device. You know, so the idea is, and what we're trying to do is teach children to self-regulate, which they are not capable of doing. Do you know what I mean? Adults are struggling to self-regulate when you're online or on your phone. So, but it is, work with the young person, not, like, you can't control the internet, but you can control and help your child to be able to navigate them. Mm. So what you're doing is kind of media literacy, you're teaching them how to use it. The other thing is, we get obsessed with screen time. Screen time is not really a useful kind of way of managing it. I could spend an hour on YouTube learning a song on a guitar. That's a really good use of my time. The next hour I could spend on Instagram being utterly miserable about myself because I'm watching all these other parents who are making bird feeding things in homeschooling when I was, you know, my children were still in their pajamas.
Yeah.
So the screen time just says that's an hour each. So we have to move away from time spent and look at it as time well spent. Technology is like food. There's good uses and bad uses. So we don't have donuts for our lunch. We have them afterwards. And getting children to kind of be able to use the technology on their own terms. But in terms of how unregulatable it is, again, I would say to you, it's not a human right to have a device. It's a responsibility. And children need to be able to prove the responsibility first to earn the right. And that's probably what we're giving you. What we're going wrong is we're just giving the device and saying, come back to me when you have a problem.
Yeah,
and that's
okay.
That's like giving a child a 2-liter, you know, bucket of ice cream and saying, come back to me when you vomit.
Yeah,
that's
okay. Yeah, okay. Last one, Coleman, if you don't mind. My 5-year-old, very clingy. We're expecting a baby in February. When we broached it with him, he seems very unhappy about another little one coming into the house. How can we make it okay?
Preparing for a sibling arrival is really difficult because you don't really know until they arrive. Again, it's understandable. If your partner came home to you tonight and said, come here, I'm going to bring this other woman home and she's going to live with us from now on, your nose would be out of joint as well.
Would it what?
So from the point of view, you have to understand the experience of sibling rivalry. Include them enough without overburdening them when their baby's there. Maintaining time with them while always trying to kind of, obviously, with the need of the new baby, etc. When people come into the room, just make sure they don't just go straight over to the baby and leave them sitting over there in the corner. Mm. But they're jostled out of position. It's a really challenging one. But it's not done in a week before the arrival. It's done in the first 2 years of the child being there.
Yeah, and generally speaking, I think once the new one arrives, it doesn't work out that bad, and they'll learn to love each other as time goes along. Dr. Coleman Knocht, your child and adolescent psychotherapist. I'm just delighted to have had Coleman on the show today, and thank you so much for your time. Author of Cop On, What It Is and Why Your Child Needs It. Also a regular podcaster on parenting issues and a columnist with the Irish Examiner. As you heard there, if you have any concerns about food, he's taking part in a webinar with Safe Food Ireland and Dr. Donal O'Shea. Eventbrite is where you will find information like that. I love Dr. Coleman Knocht. He just has this absolute cop-on, no-nonsensing approach to parenting. We can't be expected to be perfect all of the time. Our responses to things are going to change from any given hour to any given day. We have become allergic to average, he says. One of the absolute pearls of wisdom I've heard the man say there in the last half an hour. And we should be looking at a race to the middle. I recommend Coleman's podcast as well, because you hear other people who go through their parenting journeys there as well.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.